Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine, Broadcast, and Global Communities, where experts and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I'm thrilled to have with me today Larry Jacobson. Larry's desire to succeed had led him to a 22-year career as a music and entertainment industry executive for the world's largest music and publishing company, professional DJ, guest speaker at major colleges and universities, complete 3 academic degrees in music and business, joined several honorary academic societies, and most recently, write his book, Growing Success, A Young Adult's Guide for Personal Finance and Success, a book designed to give young adults ages 16 to 25 the needed educational concepts and tools to be successful in all areas of their lives. And Larry also recently contributed to the international number one bestseller, Ready, Aim, Captivate with Deepak Chopra. As a dynamic speaker who understands what it takes to reach this particular audience, Larry generously serves several of his professional life lessons and principles that he has painstakingly learned throughout his own personal successes and failures in his career, relationships, and in business to inspire today's young adults to achieve the success they desire and enable them to pursue all of their life's goals and dreams from an early age and beyond. His blog, Self-Economics, A New Era for America's Emerging Adults, has become a rapidly growing movement. Larry, thank you so much. It's always wonderful, wonderful to spend time with you. I'm thrilled you were able to join us today.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm glad to be here as well.
I wanted to ask you first, so all of our listeners and readers can get to know you a little bit if they don't already, what brought you to your passion and purpose and the place of influence that you really experience today?
Well, you know, there's really been so little effort and action taken by Washington, the Department of Education, even some of the state boards of education across the country. And so we're looking really to find something to help change the way schools should be educating children to properly prepare them for the new financial societal changes that are taking place. And even despite all the ongoing research and statistics that have been collected surrounding financial illiteracy among young adults, I've become very passionate and dedicated to helping to reinvent our approach to financially educating emerging adults. They're a group of young adults within Generation Y, ages 18 to 25, in order to avoid the financial pitfalls currently plaguing so many older adults between the ages of 40 and 60. I really don't want them to blindly follow the footsteps of the generation before us anymore, and I'm on a mission to provide them with the appropriate information, tools, and resources so they can develop new and self-reliant ways to succeed on their own terms. You know, when I was growing up in the 1970s, we had classes such as home economics, typing, how to balance a checkbook, simple life skills that were important foundations for our lives as we continued to grow. Unfortunately, these type of classes, especially those financially oriented, are no longer being offered, and this lack of guidance is stunting the very growth required for success that we encourage the young adults to seek after they graduate high school and college today. So I see it happening. It's been grabbing my attention, and it irritates me to see the cycle of financial literacy continue to perpetuate from generation to generation. We really got to stop it. So I've started to propose a new educational curriculum, which we discussed. I dubbed it Self-Economics, which focuses on financial literacy, personal development, and entrepreneurship. And this new paradigm is really to address the importance of why high schools and colleges now need to find productive and effective ways to educate young adults so as they grow up as emerging adults, they no longer have to rely on others to solve or create their desired futures. So sadly, Vicki, you know, there's been so much negativity and speculation projected upon this younger generation, but the truth is, these are actually incredibly exciting times for this group of young Americans because, like so many college graduates of the late 1960s, they were also faced with uncertainty in a changing America. This generation is really filled with pioneers in a new technological and global era. However, many of these young adults feel paralyzed and unprepared to become financially independent because the majority of their parents and teachers lack the needed knowledge to impart such crucial information. So I believe it's time for lawmakers, educators, and communities to join together in this new movement by shifting their focus away from the overburdened No Child Left Behind standardized testing efforts so they can help me solve the ongoing financial literacy issues before they're all left behind.
Oh, What a beautiful mission. I mean, you're actually making the road and the path for our future leaders a lot smoother by the contribution you're making. Larry, I so commend you for that. As you pointed out, there's just not enough attention being paid to this area. Now, you had a successful career, and you were on the rise in the entertainment field, and then you were taken by this great passion and purpose that you feel for our youth and molding them into great future leaders. What kind of support did you receive when you were on the rise and when you were on the rise in a change of career? Where did you find that for yourself?
Well, excellent question. You know, I kind of discovered my recent TIME model for success. It really stands for timing, intentions, motivation, and empowerment. And my motivation behind my own action was really the process of aligning my internal passions, desires, and goals with external resources. And the first thing I did was I really had to start believing in myself and supporting myself. And like most successful people, once they do that and they start knowing what they're going to do, they then can turn to mentors or others for guidance, especially in times of uncertainty and despair. And most successful people seek out a mastermind. They're a combination of mentors, accountants, lawyers, and such, who really serve as excellent role models and sounding boards. And my own mastermind really has done a great job as being a resource for information and advice for me. And their import had been really, you know, so helpful that in helping me choose the appropriate action steps. And as a result, it really helped me reach my short-term and long-term goals.
Oh, that's fantastic. Really wonderful. So what do you think are the key skills that are required today to really thrive and be successful, especially for our youth?
Well, you know, I believe there's really four most important skill requirements needed to make any business thrive today. And it really doesn't matter if you're a startup, corporation, small or mature business. I believe they're as followed. One, you really need to have a solid vision of what you want your business to look like from the start. And so I like to ask myself questions like, what is the problem I'm trying to solve, or what product or service am I trying to improve upon? You also want to understand and, most importantly, fulfill your clients' needs. You really got to listen to them. And if you do your research and you continue to please your clients, you're always going to find new opportunities and ideas to challenge the status quo. Third thing I look at is you really have to hire the right employees. Like Jim Collins in his book, the author of Good to Great, he said, get the right people on the bus from the start. So I always want to try to hire employees that have passion for my vision. You also want to look for people who possess skills and knowledge that you lack, because you want to surround yourself with the best and learn from them. So the most important thing is never to be intimidated by people that are actually smarter than you. And the fourth thing is you want to create and acquire systems that allow you to measure and evaluate your business. You know, people really don't pay enough attention to evaluation metrics, and I believe it helps you both evaluate not only what works but what doesn't work. And if you use them efficiently, it'll actually help, you know, enhance your overall improvement by not only allowing you to correct possible issues or problems, but you can also find really important unfound opportunities.
Yeah, those are indeed really, really important skills. So, you know, with the new age of technology that we're in, where everything is moving so fast, I know for myself, I find it really hard sometimes to maintain balance. And I was wondering if you're finding that the case with our youth. Are they more aware of having a balanced and more fulfilling life, or how do you help them achieve that?
Well, that's another great question. For me, it's really simple. Keep your life simple. You know, I like to say all the time, knowledge appreciates, possessions depreciate. So I really encourage young adults, you know, to make an effort to fill their days with knowledge, not just stuff. And you also need to really surround yourself with positive people. You want to continue to learn from them. You want them to be able to help you and get you where you want to go. But it's really imperative, and I've written about this lately, that you need to avoid what I call emotional parasites. And it seems to be more of a cultural epidemic these days, where you have these unhealthy, dysfunctional people that are often intentionally or unknowingly manipulating you or using you for their own purposes or distractions or entertainment. And I believe that if you definitely find balance in all areas of your life and you learn to confidently trust your instincts to ensure your decisions positively impact your probable outcomes for success, you'll go very, very far, as long as you don't allow yourself to be swayed by negative or unsupportive comments made by others.
Yeah, and when you're speaking of support and others around you who can either contribute or maybe not contribute so much to your success and to your well-being and fulfillment, How important do you think collaborations are in general to success?
They're very important for success. In fact, I believe they allow you to build mutual trust and relationships with others, and as a result, they create opportunities for future personal and financial success. You definitely want to use collaborations, you know, because they'll allow you to consult with others, most importantly, to leverage their talent and connections, but they also can help you to develop new ideas and introduce you to others that can become important to your success. I also really strongly encourage, especially my students, to seek out professional networks or groups as a way of sharing new ideas and learning new ways of doing things. Basically, networking with other successful people definitely will open new opportunities and paradigm shifts.
So, Larry, have you noticed a shift in the importance of this in more recent years, or is it pretty stable and always been much the same?
No, absolutely. As I just wrote in my blog, Self-Economics, as we discussed the young era for America's emerging adults, there's been so little economic change. And as a result, a lot of young adults and adults now of all ages really have to learn and relearn new skills or talents, especially if they want to continue to compete and be, you know, and financially survive. Recently, I read that, you know, many of the small U.S. communities that were recently impacted by the economic downturn have started to come back, but it's not because the big companies are beginning to move back into their neighborhoods, but because small business entrepreneurs are starting to emerge. So for their own survival, these small business owners really need to be extremely reliant on relationships and collaborations, especially if they want to remain viable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it probably is more important now with economic situations and with the world growing so small and close from the standpoint that we have the ability to just reach out and touch anyone with the web all over the world. Collaborations are really easier and probably more important than ever. What do you think are the most important factors in really attracting and maintaining great partnerships? And again, especially for our youth, what do you see the trend is with them where partnering and collaborating is concerned?
Well, I think for partnerships, it's really the same as collaborations. You know, the only thing I would add is that they really should find people that share similar visions with them. If they're going to look into doing a partnership, especially creating some form of partnership, then I really recommend that they create a partnership agreement at the beginning, because you want to outline how all the partners are going to communicate, engage, and transact business together.
That is really important. When you're exploring that, I think that that's so great that you brought that up, because when you're exploring that, then you can maybe get into a more in-depth view as to whether or not your visions are in alignment, too. It really helps to clarify that, I think, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you don't want to, you know, the first thing that happens, and, you know, Michael E. Gerber wrote a great book, E-Myth, which discusses this, which talk about the fact that, you know, you really, you know, if you start a business with one or two people and you don't really have a defined role that each person is going to do, or you don't have a shared vision, people start to take control and forget their roles within the organization. And then next thing you know, nobody wants to do this and everybody wants to do that. And I think it's incredibly important from the start that you have that discussion among yourselves, so that when you proceed with whatever business you're going to do, it's very clear who and what your role will be in making that business successful.
Oh, yeah, really, really important. So do you have any tips for how to develop a stellar team, and especially for our youth, if they're just breaking out there, probably, you know, at first they may be on their own, especially if they're entrepreneurs, or maybe they'll go into the workplace, but what are suggestions you have for really attracting and retaining great people that support you?
Great question. I think there's two sides to this. The first one is, you know, in terms of hiring employees, you definitely not only want to hire employees that possess the knowledge, skills, and abilities to meet the needs of the business and the culture, but you really want to find those passionate people that want to work for you and that believe in what your company is doing. So I like to look for people that are going to take the time to research my company. They're going to sit there during the interview and explain how they plan to add value to my vision and mission. But at the same time, it's also the employer's responsibility to clearly define those duties associated with each job. They've got to effectively train the employees so they're not set up to fail, and they definitely have to provide and receive feedback on a regular basis. So at the end of the day, you want to encourage your employees to contribute on a regular basis so they feel more accountability to the business, you know, overall success.
Oh, that's so important. I was wondering, you know, you're out there, Larry, really inspiring all of these young people, again, our future leaders. What inspires you?
Well, first off, it's my upcoming book, Growing Success, A Young Adult's Guide to Achieving Personal and Financial Success. It's now become really my long-term goal to provide young and emerging adults with the needed educational tools and resources in the areas of personal development, which I consider both theoretical and practical, wealth creation, and financial literacy, so they can grow up, you know, to develop their own personal financial success. But also, I just became a member of the Society for the Study of Emerging Adulthood, as well as other organizations, and so I've become really dedicated to collaborating with others like Dr. Jeffrey Arnett and President Stephen Balls of Augustina College toward filling the gaps that so many college students and graduates have expressed they needed and wish they had gotten while they were in college themselves, so that the future generations feel more comfortable turning to their parents for guidance.
Mm. That is so wonderful. It's so great that you're that actively involved, again, with our youth's future. Can you give me some success story maybe that you've experienced either yourself or with some of the youth that you work with?
Absolutely. In fact, in June of 2012, I decided to drop everything and move from Los Angeles, California to Bloomington, Indiana, as you know. And for 22 years, as you mentioned, I was fortunate to have created a successful career in the music industry, but I wasn't following my true creative path. So I knew I was ready for a new challenge, but I didn't want to leave my job and have to start all over again after so many years. But in October of 2011, I found myself overweight. I was underutilized at work and completely unhappy living in L.A., so I started working on my past life exit plan, which I dubbed at the time Operation 365. And what I did was I began to think about the ways I could transform my life in 365 days by both utilizing both my long overdue creative talents along with my acquired leadership skills to help others. So as a result, I started to really focus my strengths on what I wanted to do next. I began seeking the help and advice of friends and professionals, as we discussed, and within 12 months, I actually lost 50 pounds. I guest lectured several times at Indiana University. I ran 3 marathons and 9 half marathons, left my record company job, and made the decision to pursue my true passion to educate and motivate young adults to achieve personal and financial success. And as you mentioned, in January of 2013, I became a number one international best-selling contributing author for the book Ready, Aim, Captivate, Put Magic in Your Message and a Fortune in Your Future. And I finished my first upcoming solo book, Growing Success, Young Adult's Guide to Personal and Financial Success. However, my biggest success that resulted from that past year was my marriage to my beautiful wife, Kate.
Oh, how wonderful is that? How wonderful. It's just like, okay, no excuses. That is fantastic.
It was a great year.
Yeah, I'd have to say one of super achievement.
Thank you.
So you're doing so many wonderful things, Larry. What is your big picture vision for the amazing work you're doing and its impact on the world? What does that look like for you almost as a legacy?
Well, again, I'm really hoping that I can make a difference. You know, when I started writing Growing Success a year or so ago, I wanted to write a book that I wish someone had given to me when I was back in school. One of the things that truly upset me, and we talked about this as part of Ready and Captivate, was that I believe that we have become a society that suffers from what I call financial obesity, which, like being overweight, people have this need to self-sabotage and overspend. And I'm really starting to look at the younger generation, and it's very difficult reading all the newspaper ads and the commencement speeches that have been going on to turn around and actually blame this generation completely when we have an older generation that's really just followed the teachings and the misinformation given to them generation after generation. So I'm really making an attempt to try to educate young and emerging adults so that they can start creating, you know, new and exciting things on their own terms so they can go out there and start succeeding and finding their own personal success.
Oh, yeah, what a great contribution. What a beautiful vision for all of our futures. I was wondering if you have some sort of exercise or tip or something you share with your clients and the youth that you guide to really help them achieve this kind of success and really be able to truly manage their future on the financial plane as well as all others.
Absolutely. And here's a tip that I share with my readers to help them create specific action plans actually for achieving their goals and success. And I encourage them to start by being very clear about what they want to achieve and what specific actions they're willing to take toward achieving their goals. So in this initial step, they must take the time to create their vision and purpose for their success, as well as the various action steps they'll need to take in order to achieve their positive outcomes. So it's really important in the beginning that they understand that there is a difference between a goal and a dream. And as you know, a lot of people often confuse dreams for goals, so I like to tell them dreams are for bedtime, goals are for success. And because I like to give people a good place to start, you know, here's a brief exercise that I can share to help become financially independent. You must first create a realistic spending budget that allows you to track all income and expenses on a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual basis. The tracking of items will really enable you to create good money habits from the start so you do not overspend and you learn to live within your means. And I strongly recommend that you start putting aside at least 10% of your monthly income toward future savings. Secondly, you should assign specific dollar amounts that you want to attribute to each budget item. So, for example, $200 per month for food. And by assigning dollar amounts to each budget item and you start tracking each expense, you're going to ensure yourself of being able to remain in budget, but this will also dramatically enhance your odds for success. So what I like to do is train you to start taking responsibility for your own actions and decisions so you can achieve your financial goals and avoid the overspending that has derailed so many others.
You know, what I love about this, especially when you speak to the idea of taking a daily a tally of what you're spending and exactly how you're managing your finances. It's so great because for me, Larry, your suggestion makes it come alive, you know, in my life, like brushing my teeth, you know, as opposed to something that we think, oh, it's the first of the month, got to get around to that, you know, or it's the end of the quarter. It really makes it part of our vitality, of our whole living experience. And I just love that about what you teach.
Well, absolutely. And truth be told, I just recently through my website, I have a new section called Ask Larry. And someone from Little Rock, Arkansas asked me, well, how do you get young kids to start valuing money? And this is something that I actually did. When I was back in school, I started to sit down and I started to track every dollar that I spent. And what it did was made me incredibly aware of what I was actually spending it on. It really served two purposes. One, when you actually write it down and you see how much money you're really spending, you're going to surprise yourself. But the other thing, most importantly, which a lot of people don't address, is the emotional side of money. And in that particular case, when you actually start to become aware of what you're spending, you may not do it as often because you said, wow, I just spent a lot of money on what? Nothing. So in my goal here in educating young adults, it's not just teaching them the value of money, which is simple because everybody can tell everybody, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 or how to balance a checkbook. It's really addressing the emotional side of spending. And as I write in my blogs and I talk about in my upcoming book, we really have become, you know, little parents of ourselves, in that if your parent, you know, was conservative, you probably turned out to be conservative. Or if you hated the way your parents saved or spent money, you may do the opposite. So it's really important from a young age that parents take an active interest in their kids' knowledge and understanding of finance and spending so that they grow up to be really great wealth creators.
Mm, that is fantastic. So awesome. So, Larry, that time just flies with you, and we have to draw to a close, but I wanted to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to connect with you and get more of the amazing financial wisdom you have available to them. So can they reach you on the web?
Absolutely. You can reach me at www.larrymjacobson.com. And the one thing I'd love to leave your readers with is kind of my own personal philosophy for success. It's pretty simple. It's do what you love every day of your life while surrounding yourself with those positive people that love and support you. If you can find that secret early on, you're going to be incredibly successful.
Oh, I love it, Larry. Could you repeat your website one more time just to make sure everyone got it?
Absolutely. It's www.larrymjacobson.com.
Oh, Larry, thank you so much once again for being with us and imparting all of this knowledge and just great info. I mean, it's timeless from the standpoint of it can apply to any age, but even more so important with our youth today. Again, our future leaders. And if anyone out there would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our books, our magazines, broadcasts, and our global communities, you can find us on the web at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And Larry, once again, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Vicki. I appreciate it.
And everyone out there, have a wonderful week.